ॐ सह भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा वैर्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We'll do the important verses of chapter 2. The most important verse in chapter 2 as it begins is verse 2 and 3, where Lord Krishna whips up Arjuna rather than being emotional with him. He says, when the house is on fire, how can you behave like this in a crisis? Then Arjuna comes to the right argument, that how can I fight with Bhishma, Drona? Drona is my guru. How can I fight with them with weapons? And then he admits his confusion in verse number 6. I do not know what is right, whether I should fight with them with weapons or I should leave the battle and go to the forest and live on alms. Both seems to be wrong. I'm confused. I'm helpless. That is when he surrenders. I think with this we stopped, if you remember. So Arjuna surrenders to Krishna in verse number 7. The most important thing in the entire Gita is Arjuna's surrender. If only Arjuna did not surrender, Bhagavad Gita would not have started. Knowledge is never given, it is taken. Knowledge is never given, it is taken. You won't give advice without anybody asking for it. It will be like water sprinkled on a hot plate. It will be like talking to walls. It's of no use. Right? So therefore you must allow the person to seek it. Only then. Not because you are arrogant. Because it will not germinate. It will not grow. It will not help the receiver. And what, you know, in verse number 26 of chapter 3, Lord Krishna talks about it. We go on giving advice. For what? As parents also, you go on giving advice.
A little kid in a book I was reading tells his mother, lecture yourself, you need it more than
that. See, the thing is, it's like this. We all not able to absorb. Before absorbing, we give it up. You go to a class, listen to some lecture. You must absorb it. Even in life, Swamiji says, you should live on spillovers.
What?
Spillover. Even at the financial level. One is, you are earning money, on top of it, you are borrowing and living. That is the worst scenario. Second scenario is, you are living within your means. But all your means comes and goes, finished. The other thing is, you are so strong, so you lead a very frugal living. Simple living and frugal living in such a way that whatever you are earning itself is plenty. Even though you are earning maybe little, but because of your frugal living, it's plenty. So what is happening is, you're not wanting to save. That is a different mentality. That is, you lead your life in such a miserly way that you go on saving money. Your interest is not in saving. But you are so, your focus is so introvert that your expenses are very little. So what happens, over a period of time, you are only earning, let's say, 1,000 rupees. But your living only takes about 200, 300 rupees. Because, not because you are miserly, not because your focus is in saving money, but you are so introverted that you hardly have any expenses. So what happens, that 700 rupees goes on accumulating in the bank or wherever. Then there comes a time where, because as it is in the beginning of your sadhana itself, you are leading a very frugal life. With your sadhana, your requirements become very little. But now what has happened, over a period of time, this 700 goes on getting saved. The interest that comes out of it itself is more than what you require.
This is what is called a spillover living. This is at the financial level itself. Do you understand what I am trying to say? See, there are two types of people. One is spendthrifts, other is miserly. Both are money minded. But the people who live on spillovers, they are not money minded. Their mind is gone towards something higher. Are you with me? Mind is gone towards something higher. Their needs are only very little. So, how much ever comes, they are not trying to save, it automatically gets saved. This is what we call a spillover. And this is possible only when your mind is turned towards something higher. It's very interesting. Not that they are, they are all useless, I don't want to spend time there. It's not that they are running away from the extroverted things, but the mind itself is not interested. This is what happens. You know, even from a financial point of view. Anyway, so when you surrender, what happens is you absorb. When you don't surrender, you don't absorb. So what I was telling you is, what you give away must be your spillover. That's why I brought that point, even financial level. In knowledge level also, your focus should be in absorbing. Swamiji says you should be like a lake. What does a lake do?
Absorb the extra water.
Lake goes on collecting, collecting, collecting. People go to the lake and draw the water. So like that, you don't go on giving lectures. They will come and collect it from you. You be like a lake. Absorb karo. Digest karo. The focus should be in that, not in lecturing. So when Krishna whipped him up, Arjuna woke up and he surrendered. Having surrendered, now he gave opportunity for Krishna to speak. Arjuna said, I am thy disciple. Krishna never said, I am your guru. Read me. If any guru says, I am your guru, then he is not a true guru. A Sishya will say, yes, I am thy disciple. I don't know. Teach me, let me learn from you. So verse number 7 is another important verse. Then verse number 11, which the Gita starts. In fact, I would say this portion from verse 11 till about 25 is all important verses only. Till verse 25. In fact, it's not just 25, even 27. So you can say till 30. In other words, why these verses are important? Because when Krishna starts speaking, he straight away comes to the point. He understood the problem. The problem is ignorance of the self. If you remember, I gave you the example of undervaluing yourself. Wrong valuation. You remember that example we discussed? Arjuna is valuating himself as body. The self-esteem is very low. Krishna is trying to give him the right perception in life. That you are not the body, you are Atma. Atma means something that is always there, which is neither born nor dies. Atma means something which is independent. Atma is not dependent on the experiences. Experiences are dependent on the Atma. For example, a thought comes and goes. But what happens to the thinker? You are the thinker. Thought emerges in you and leaves you. Another thought comes, leaves you. They all come and go. But what happens to you? You are there. You are always there. This is what Krishna is saying. All these things, they come and go. All these relationships, they come and go. What is permanent is you. Are you with me? Don't get involved. Play the role. Enjoy the game. Tamasha. Don't get involved. Save you. But we get lost in the tamasha that is happening. One fellow comes and says, you are an idiot. You get involved and you fight with him. I am not an idiot. You are a buffoon. Another fellow comes and praises you to sky, you get involved with him, but then you start imagining yourself to be something else. All these things are waves, they come and go. Krishna says, you are not the wave, you are the ocean. You are the water. You are the essential ingredient, which is beyond birth and death. If you understand that you are Atma, then there is no question of, hurt. Atma is subtle. Body is gross. Gross cannot hurt the subtle. Your experiences are gross. They cannot hurt the subtle. You are thinking that you are hurt because of your ignorance. You are identifying yourself with the gross things. What is hurt only is the gross, not the subtle. See, when you put a sword inside a scabbard, there is a gap between scabbard and the sword. You can only hurt the scabbard, you can't hurt the sword. You know, these kings and all these people have the scabbard and they put the sword inside. There is a gap. Scabbard is getting hurt, not the sword. Similarly, all the death is happening only to the body level, to the mind level. Nothing is happening to you. So Krishna says, if you think you can kill somebody, or you think somebody can kill you, you are being stupid. You are not this external manifestations. You are Atma. Atma is Satyam. Satyam is something that is always there. What comes and goes is not you. So whatever comes and goes, what you should do? Should endure them. Like that poem, even this shall pass away. Friends were praising him. He said, okay, this will also pass. He was going through the height of enjoyment. Even this will pass away. Name and fame, even this will pass away. Pain, even this will pass. Is there anything that you experience or experiencing or which you may experience in future, something that is permanent? They will all come and go. When you say they will come and go, there is an observer observing them coming and going. And that observer is you, not the observed. This is the philosophy that Krishna is talking from 11 to 25. You are the observer, not the observed. But you imagine yourself to be the observed, then you go through all this problem. So you are Atma. So he gives the Atma knowledge from 11 to 25. Then at 26 he says, okay, 11 to 25. 26 to 30 he says, okay, even if you think you are discontent, even then where is the problem? It goes from one body to another. Birth is certain for somebody who is born, and birth is certain for somebody who is dead. These things keep on changing. That also is a problem. Why do you expect things that change not to change? Is it your foolishness or not? Something is of the nature of passing. You are expecting that to stay put permanently? Isn't it your stupidity? See, the day somebody is born, they are susceptible to disease and death. So if you want something that is susceptible to disease and death not to get into disease and die, is it your foolishness or not? That's all Krishna is asking. So in other words, what he is saying is, if you assess things correctly, you will not give rise to undue expectations. When you do not have undue expectations, you will not have disappointments. All disappointments, all stress is because of either lack of assessment or wrong assessment. If you assess things correctly, yes, I was born on so-and-so day. So one day I will have to die.
You will not give rise to undue
expectations. Undue expectations lead you to disappointments, no? If I assess correctly, yes, suppose I was born, will have to die. Where is the problem? So Krishna says, assess things correctly. And then, from 30 to 38, he talks about from the duty point of view. Further, from the duty point of view, Arjuna, you should not be wavering like this. From 31 to 38. You are a Kshatriya. What is the duty of a Kshatriya? Instead of looking at it from the personal angle, look at it from the total angle. Deliver your duty and keep moving. So, very important verse here is verse 38. Sukha dukke sabe kritva labha labau jaya jayau tato yuddaya yujyasva daivam papama vapsyasi. Treating alike pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat, then get ready for battle. Thus you will not incur sin. Is exactly fitting into what we discussed just now. Treating alike pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, gain and loss, then get ready for battle. Keeping the taking sides towards pleasure, then I get ready for battle, I will incur sin. Without hurt or hatred, you should go to the court. Not with that. Are you with me? Yeah, there are people either go to the court with hatred and hurt, or with hatred and hurt, they don't go to the court. Both are wrong. Krishna is saying, if outside the only recourse left is to go to the court, please do. But make sure that inside there is no hurt or hatred. That is where the challenge is. See, Swamiji keeps on asking this question. You are saying your neighbor ate chili. Then why are you having stomachache? In other words, you are saying those people are doing wrong things. Why should you have hurt? If I am doing wrong, I should be the one who is agitated, no? Doesn't make sense at all. They are making wrong things and you are getting agitated. Does it make sense?
But instead
of
doing the wrong,
I will
get agitated.
See, world is a reflection of your thoughts. It's an echo. I send forth negativity, negativity will come back to me. So in other words, they are throwing negative and for which they are definitely agitated. Why are you hurt? You are hurt because you are still having ego. If you did not have ego, where is the question of you getting hurt? So why am I getting agitated? There is somewhere down the line, I am also thinking that I am above board, that nobody should send any negative things to me. So there is so much of ego in me also. That is why I am also hurt. So let me start working on my hurt feelings, on my negative feelings. Believe me, my agitations will subside. Your agitations will not subside by going to the court, but your agitations will instantly go away once you start working on your hatred and hurt. So the question that you should ask is, why am I hurt? You remember the example we discussed about Buddha? People were hurling abuses at him. He said, if you guys have finished, let me go to the next village because my duty is to go from one village to another. They said, we are talking so many things ill about you, you are not hurt. He said, why should I? Because before coming to your village, I was in another village. There they gave me lots and lots of sweets on the plate. I gave it back to them saying that I don't want it. Then they distributed amongst themselves. Similarly, I came to your village, now you gave me so much of
insult.
I am saying the same thing to you, I don't want it, you keep it with you. Now you decide whether you want to keep it with you or distribute amongst yourselves. So Buddha was not getting hurt. Why? Why? Because he never had ego. He said it is their privilege to give. Who am I to say how they should behave? Let them behave the way they want. So it went back to them only. In your case, if you are hurt, that means there is somewhere down the line you are accepting it. That should change. Once that changes, you will not be hurtful. Once you are not hurtful, then physically, if the necessary course is to go to the court, then go. If the necessary course is not going to go to the court, then don't go. There is no going to the court or not going to the court is the least of the problem. Real thing is tackling your hurt feeling. Your hurt feeling is because somewhere you are resisting. Somewhere you are accepting it, not resisting. Therefore, that has to change, and that can change only through this kind of reflection. This is what Krishna is teaching. So, without any partiality towards victory or defeat, fight the battle. Don't take sides. We all take sides, no? Always we take sides. And usually what side do we take?
Suits us.
Victory. Pleasure. The moment you take the side of pleasure, what you are ignorantly missing is, pain will come. To conquer pain, you should also not take the side of pleasure. Because pain is nothing but the other side of pleasure. Pain is nothing but the other side of pleasure. Anybody who takes the side of pleasure will go through pain. You want to get rid of pain, then stop taking side of pleasure also. So treating alike pleasure and pain, gain and loss, victory and defeat. How do you treat this alike? Pitch your ideal. Let your focus be your ideal. You have no time to think about who said what about you. So many people said so many things about Mahatma Gandhi. But he was given himself to an ideal. So you have no time to think about what he said, what she said. So work for a higher ideal in life. Do you have a goal first of all? If at all you have a goal, what is that goal? I must make sure that my children grow up. They will grow up whether you are there or not. Is this a goal? Maximum we go up to family, that's all. Beyond family, do you even think about things? Huh? Just outside, if you step from your house, you will see so many people sleeping on the platform. Here we are, million times better off, million times better off. But we are so agitated. Why is this happening? Did you ever give a thinking to it? Because you lack a higher vision, higher goal. Fill your life with gratitude. You will not have any complaints. If you are complaining means you are stepping out of gratitude. It is impossible that you will be having gratitude and also be complaining. Think about it. You listen to those news that comes in the channel, you get so agitated. In the sense, the baby Falak. What did that baby do? You listen. You are like you are in heaven. Million times your life is much better. Still, you are complaining, all of us. Why? Gratitude nahi hai. If you have gratitude, what will be your thinking? Huh?
Thank God.
What will be your thinking? Not just thank God. How can I pay back? Like Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is best in repaying. Repaying means what?
Say that again.
Prophet Muhammad says, he is best amongst us who is best in repaying. Repaying. This life is meant for repayment. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera. That's all. Theek hai, how much, however rich you are, end of the day, how much space you need. Even if you have 25 rooms, even if you are president, you are living in the, I don't know how many rooms are there in this presidential house. So hundreds of rooms. End of the day, she is going to be sitting on that one little sofa, whichever sofa it is. Yes or no? So anybody, any number of things you may have, end of the day. Now, I'm not trying to philosophize here. What I'm trying to say is this is how it is. So be grateful and let your life be summarized with this word giving. You have some ideal, work for that ideal. Believe me, a person who's given himself or herself for an ideal, they have no time to even get involved in this complaining, criticism. Well, it only means that we don't have a goal. So treating alike pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, all this is possible only when you work for a goal. If you just work for yourself, only you put yourself at the center, then obviously all these agitations, all these things will happen. Work for something higher. Conceive some higher noble goal beyond your selfish, self-centered interest. Like Ramdita says, your family should become the center and not the boundary of your affection. Maximum we think of our children, that's all. Isn't it? Can you even think anything more than that? Nothing more than that. See the vision of Vedas. Vedas say all of us belong to one kutumba, that is Vasudeva kutumba. Honestly speaking, we don't understand how we are connected, but all of us are connected. God forbid if I have malaria and if I say I'm coming for class, what will you say? Sir, please don't come. Not only because you are interested in my health, if I come you will get malaria. You understand what I'm saying? You quarantine a person. How do you say you and me are disconnected? Throughout the world, if I am polluting my rivers here in India and dumping that in the ocean, America is concerned about it. Why? Why is America concerned about it? It's all connected. It is all interconnected. Recently there was an earthquake in under the ocean near Indonesia, and the warning went to 25-28 countries. We are interconnected. You and me only appear different from outside. There is a connection between you and me. We don't realize that. Are you with me? Our knowledge is so limited. We don't understand these things. What was part of you becomes part of me now. You are smoking. Inhale and exhale. And I am standing next to you. So what is happening? What you exhale, I am inhaling. So what was part of you has become part of me now. That I am breathing out and somebody. We are all connected. What do you mean we are disconnected? Right arm is thinking it is disconnected from the left arm. But right arm and left arm are connected. They are not disconnected. Out of ignorance, the right arm is thinking that it is disconnected from the left arm. Truly speaking, they are all connected. Are you with me? Isa Vasyam Idagum Sarvam Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat Tera Tyatera Bunjita Bhagrada Kasya Sudha. Very first verse of Visavasa Upanishad. Coveting others' wealth. So work for a higher goal. When you, any time, at least this must ring a bell in your heart. Any time I'm making a complaint, what should come to my mind? I'm complaining because I'm losing my gratitude. Losing my gratitude. Why would I complain?
What did I do to deserve what I have?
So your focus is what? Just me. Focusing, complaining comes. Rise above your selfish interests. Then you'll be able to treat alike all this. All the time I'm interested in this or that. What am I going to do with that? End of the day. So work for some higher noble cause. Then your mind becomes purified. When your mind becomes purified, then the knowledge will get established. Till then, knowledge will not get established. It should not be that we meet only to understand Gita. It should be that we meet to bring about a change in ourselves. Why are we meeting?
What happens to knowledge?
Pardon?
What happens to
knowledge? Will get digested and bring about the change. Otherwise, it will not.
Rise above to a higher cause, noble cause, which purifies the mind and stabilizes the knowledge. No.
Once you get the knowledge, once you get the purity, knowledge will get established in you. Till you have got that purity, knowledge is not going to get established. Jnana Siddhi will not happen without Manashuddhi. Atma Shuddhi is Pela, fair Jnana Siddhi. Atma Shuddhi meaning work for a goal, work for something higher. Huh? Street dogs, they get their food from where? No bank balance. Nobody owns them. But they still get their food, no? You have a bank balance, you have a family, you have 5,000 servants working for you, still you are worried, insecure. It should shake you, no? This thinking should shake you. What am I doing, man? A stray dog gets its meal. You see, one very interesting thing, this made me think a little bit, so I have not forgotten that. It happened in 1993, sometime around that time, 93 or 92, when I was studying in the ashram. Swamiji's mother, we call her Nanamma, you know. Nanamma means father's mother in Telugu. So we call her Nanamma. She couldn't understand much of English, little bit, but she'll genuinely come and sit in the class whenever Swamiji is teaching. And after the class is our karma time. Karma time means action time. Everybody does whatever they can contribute for the ashram. Somebody cleans, somebody takes care of the electrical work, computer work, whatever. Accounts. So before we start our karma, two, three of us, we used to go to Nanamma. Nanamma has a small mandir, in a puja room. She used to give us this prasad and then we used to say some points that Swamiji told today. If he had said some stories also, we explained to her what he said, etc. So like that, one day I went to her puja room. There, we keep the ashram very clean, very, very clean. Sometimes in spite of it, still one cockroach may come, you know. Like that, near her puja room, I saw one cockroach. My instinctive reaction was to catch hold of it, but not kill it. So I took my kerchief and caught hold of it. And this is happening in the first floor. So I didn't want to kill it. So as a reaction, I just threw it through the window. Then suddenly I said, what have I done? You know? Then I just wanted to see what happened. This cockroach beautifully went and sat on the floor, on the road. From somewhere a bird came and picked it and went. Here am I, thinking that I should not kill the cockroach. There the totality has used me to feed the bird. You understand what I'm saying? I was like, my God, what happened? What is happening? It's something which actually made me think very deeply. How the whole thing gets, you have no idea. See, I was used like an instrument. That bird got the food. You are nobody to decide whether somebody should die. You are nobody to decide whether somebody should live. So many patients where doctors said they will not survive for 100 years. So many patients where they said nothing will happen, died like that. Our knowledge is very limited. Please understand this. So broaden your vision beyond your selfish interest. Work for some goal. How can I fight with my guru, my grandfather, my son-in-law, my father-in-law, This is what Krishna is saying. Why are you looking at it from a personal angle, everything? Why don't you rise above your personal nature? So when there is a calamity, immediately everybody, it's very interesting. When there is a threat to the ego, what happens? You know, when this earthquake happened in Chennai and all these places recently, all these fellows came out of their buildings. Rich, poor, everybody. On the streets. Rich, poor, everybody equally came on the streets. You understand? Nature has no demarcations. We have created the demarcations. Seven oceans. Huh? Is there a seven ocean? Is there really seven oceans? There's only one ocean. Seven continents. What do you mean? There's only one. For our practical purposes, we have created the boundary and all that. And then we get involved in it. Oh, ye toh, jada le gaya, oh. What I'm trying to say is, rise to that height. When you rise to the height, you will see all these things so petty. You will not get this. So he says, treating alike pleasure and pain. How can you do that? By pitching up a higher goal and working for it. Work for something higher. Ask yourself, is there a cause that I have? Mahatma Gandhi gave his blood for this country, yet these fellows are making money out of it. Some stupid idiot has auctioned it and somebody idiot has bought it also. Recently, auctioned Mahatma Gandhi's blood-stained grass. When he was shot,
But
now recently,
Vijay
Mallya
sells that with his Kingfisher
drum.
No.
Glasses.
Glasses.
But they sold it now.
No, recently. Auctioned it, not sold.
Grass.
See, when he was shot, his blood spilled on some grass. Whatever. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, all this happens because of ignorance. When I said stupid, I don't have any personal grudge. What I mean is, it's ignorance. Somebody who worked for us, for the humanity, who felt that it is so bad to even hurt somebody physically. Forget about killing. And his blood we want to auction. So when I said stupid, I don't have any hatred or anything. What I meant is ignorance. Stupidity. In that sense I meant stupid. Not in a personal level. Why would that fellow auction if he was not ignorant? Why would another fellow get it also if he was not ignorant? See, what I'm trying to say is, all these people, great masters, fought and got us freedom. Are you really grateful?
But that great master's grandfather, the guy who sold it, his grandfather must have had sentimental value. But his great grandfather needed the money.
What I am trying to tell you is, don't get involved in the example. I am trying to say this much, that so many people have contributed for our survival today. And here we are only thinking about, can I take little more? Give me. Give. Have a goal. Work for a goal. Then you'll be able to treat it like all this. So this verse number 38 is a very important verse. And then in 39 he says, till now I spoke to you Sankhya, now listen to Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means action with awareness. So it is Karma Yoga. So then in Buddhi Yoga means doing actions with awareness, with thinking, with Buddhi, with a goal. When you lack Buddhi, you work for yourself. When you have Buddhi, you work for the total. As simple as that. Any ignorant fellow will work for himself only. Any fellow with knowledge will understand there is nothing mine or yours. Let me just do it as a duty and get away. So Buddhi Yoga in the context means Karma Yoga. Then in 42, 43 and 44, he says Vedas, 42, 43, 44, 45, he says Vedas are only means, not an end in themselves. Vedas help you to fulfill a desire. You fulfill a desire to move beyond your desires, not to get stuck there. So go beyond Vedas and go to Vedanta. Vedas are also Traigunya Vishaya only. Whatever happiness, enjoyment you may get from Vedas, you will get that and much more when you attain the goal of self-realization. So don't get stuck. Even when I spoke about pitching up a higher ideal, a lot of people work for a higher goal and they get stuck there. End of the day, real goal is what? Achieving your Atma. Remember this. Without knowing who you are a bad fellow. You are an insane fellow. We seem to know about everything around us. We do not know who we are. So the only goal is knowing our real nature. All these goals are intermittent goals. Keep on moving. Don't get stuck there. Then 47, very very important verse, as you know, Karmani eva adhikaraha ma faleshu kadachana ma karma phala hetur boho ma te samgostva karmani. What does it mean? Very famous verse. Your right is only with reference to the action, never to the fruit. Why? Every action will have its own fruit, but you have no right. Why? Because you have choice only to do the action. Result happens because of so many other factors. Isn't it? It's not in your hands. So, let your focus be in the present action. Don't slip to the future result. Don't slip into inaction also here. Do your duty. Let the result come. Don't be attached to your results. Do your duty. Verse 47, very important verse. Then 48 and 50, he defines yoga. In 48 he says, Samatvam yoga muchyate. In 50 he says, Yoga karmasu kaushalam. Samatvam yoga muchyate means what? Mental calmness, balance is yoga. Then in 50 says yoga karmasu kaushalam. Skill in action is yoga. So in other words, what is yoga? Yoga is equal to calm mind plus dexterous action. If any of them is missing, it is not yoga. Now, a thief also skillfully steals a bank without leaving any trace to trace him out. Will you say he is practicing yoga? Then he says dexterous action means you do your action and you get the result, at the same time you reduce your vasanas also. When you do an action with desire propelled, you create more vasanas. But when you do an action for a higher goal, you not only fulfill your desire, but you also rise above that desire. That is yoga. You remember that story we spoke about a king who was ruling his kingdom very wisely, but he was involved also in his activities, so he was so tremendously agitated, stressed. So he wanted peace of mind. So somebody said, why don't you go to Himalayas? There is this Swami, he will teach you meditation technique, you will become peaceful. So he went there, found the guru, found the priest, I mean found the sage, prostrated to him and said, I am agitated, I want to learn meditation from you because I believe meditation can give me peace. He said, yeah, I will teach you all that, but it will take few days for you to practice and master it. Till then, who is going to rule the kingdom? You have to appoint somebody as the king. So immediately the king said, okay, I will appoint you as the king. So now the sage has become the king. So he said, okay, now I have appointed you as the king. You go and rule, you teach me meditation, I will sit and do meditation here. He said, okay, I will teach you meditation and all that, but now that you made me the king, then I am worried, how am I going to rule the kingdom because I don't have experience or intelligence of ruling the kingdom. So now, being the king, I need to think of the best candidate to rule on my behalf. And the best candidate in the whole kingdom is you. So I appoint you to go and rule on my behalf. Now, he is a subject, right? He's not a king anymore. The subject has to follow the order of the king. So he didn't know what to do, so he went back to the kingdom. Without learning any meditation technique, nothing. Went back to the kingdom. Was doing the same thing what he was doing before. But strangely, he was peaceful now. Why?
Because now
he is there doing his duty as a trustee. As an ambassador. Earlier he was the king, order. Ownership nahi hai, peace apne aap aa jayega. Ownership hai, peace is gone. Now why am I saying this here? So when you do your actions without ownership, with the right attitude, then automatically your mind is calm and you are in yoga. So what converts an action into yoga is the attitude. Lot of people think karma yoga means you have to do something great. Nothing. Same sweeping of the floor can be done as a karma yoga. Just attitude change karo. Bas. You don't have to do anything.
So in a way our employees are more
peace
than we are.
No. If they, to the extent they are ego, they are also agitated. It's not the ownership in the sense of being owner of a company. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. If the employee thinks he is indispensable, to that extent he will also be agitated. It's that attitude that we need to change. Nothing else. Attitude may farak padta. Doing the same action before he was agitated. Now he is not agitated. So yoga is equal to balanced mind plus dexterous action. Example, story of a king. Write that so that you will not forget. Dexterity in action means you will fulfill the object of your desire in the meantime, at the same time you will rise above your desires, vasanas. Today we do actions propelled by our desires. We may fulfill one or two desires, but in the contrary, side by side, we are also increasing our vasanas. When you don't do an action, but mentally keep on thinking about the object, you are building your vasanas. You do an action thinking about the result, then also you are building your vasanas. But you dedicate the result to the divinity, do your action. Result will come, you will enjoy the result, but the fact that you are not thinking about the result, you will rise above the vasanas also. That is called karma yoga. So remember this. Samatvam yoga muchyate yoga karmasu kaushalam. These two terms you must remember. Samatvam yoga muchyate. It's there in verse 48.
Yeah, that's a combination of 48
and 50. Yeah, see 48 there. You will see samatvam yoga muchyate. Balance of mind is said to be yoga. Balance is said to be yoga. Then in 50, he says, yoga karmasu kaushalam. Samatvam yoga muchyate. The last three words of 48. Then yoga karmasu kaushalam. Last three words of verse 50. Change your attitude, everything gets changed. Automatically.
Samatvam yoga muchyate is evenness of mind.
Evenness is called yoga. That's what it literally means. Evenness means evenness of mind.
Is yoga.
Yeah.
And yoga karmasukasha, dexterity.
In action. Skill in action. Skill in action only will come when you have devotion. Without devotion, skill will not come. The skill that we are talking about. See, this is something that also made me think, you know. See, in India we keep talking about devotion, bhakti, and in the name of bhakti so many bhajans and this and that goes on. Yes, of course, I'm not saying bhajans will not help in building bhakti. Of course it will, if it's done in the right way. But many places I don't know whether it is done in the right way. But some of the countries when I go abroad, I see this on the pedestrian crossing. They have a ramp. Every building has a ramp. Every shopping mall has a separate parking lot allotted for physically challenged people. Every shopping mall has a separate toilet bed for them. This is bhakti. You understand what I'm saying? We are not living in this world alone. So many people are living, and some of them are physically challenged. Elderly people, small kids. That is bhakti. Bhakti means what? When you dissolve your ego in the total, that is bhakti. I personally feel that is bhakti. You see, their bhakti is expressed, it's there. That is why there is prosperity there.
Compassion.
Yes, bhakti means identification with higher, with the total. Is it just me who is living here in this universe? So many people are there. Self-effacement. So if you are producing a name in your factory, if you have identification with your customer, then that name will be of the best quality. If your only identification was profit motive, then you will say, "Arey, compromise karo, udhar compromise karo, fir main lenge paisa bas." If you are laying a road and you are thinking about people who are going to be traveling on it, and do it for keeping that in mind, then the road will last long. I'm told in US these roads, when you travel, these were laid in 1944. Laid in 1944. The road that is laid yesterday, today is having all sorts of potholes here. And we are talking about devotion.
Somebody in the road construction, and they say that if you give a tenders to the government, they tell you then that it has to last for 3 years. And if it, you have to do it so that it lasts for 3 years, so that after 3 years you need to change it and take.
No,
I mean,
we
say
so, when we went to the shop, that's the way it is.
They tell us that it has to last for maximum 3 years.
It doesn't last for 3 years.
That's fine, whatever.
So the thing is, skill in action is yoga. Yoga karma sukaushalam samartham yoga bhuchyate. Remember these things in chapter 2. Then verse number 52 and 53, he says, when your intellect will cross the mire of delusion, then you will grow indifferent to what has been heard and what is yet to be heard. When your intellect perplexed by what has been heard shall stand immovable and steady in meditation, then you will attain yoga. What he is trying to say is, when your intellect will cross the mire of delusion from what you have heard and what is yet to be heard. Vedas, Shruti, Shruti means Vedas, what has been revealed. Vedas help you to fulfill certain desires, right? When you fulfill the desire, you get X amount of happiness. But from that you should have used your buddhi to understand that I may fulfill any number of desires, but more desires are only going to be breeding. The contentment is not going to come by fulfilling desires. Contentment is going to come by rising above desires. Once my intellect wakes up, then what will happen is, intellect is not going to be engaged in going on fulfilling more and more desires. It will start thinking about how to rise above desires. In other words, whatever desires you fulfill, not only with reference to that you are satisfied, even those desires that has not been fulfilled, you say, okay, enough is enough, let me move ahead now. So go beyond Shruti. Shruti means go beyond your experiences, go beyond your Vedas also, and go to the ultimate state of realization. Now, I would like to stop here today because I thought we'll focus more separately on Stita Prajna portion next week when we meet. Siddha Prajna portion is from next verse 54 to 72. Om. Purnamada, Purnamidam, Purnam, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya, Purnanadhaya, Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.